one of the toughest habits of mind that I have really had to work to not only be aware of, but even more importantly and even more difficult, is loosening my grip on it. In other words, stopping the clinging to the need to engage in this particular habit of mine, or to let go of my emotional investment and life's energy in really perpetuating this particular habit of mine. This is one that is probably, I would say, would be at the forefront of some of my greatest struggles emotionally, and that is the tendency to have expectations about how our life should be. And also, even beyond that, to have expectations for who we think other people are. And usually what I have found, at least for myself, is that when I have expectations about who other people are, it's usually, for me, is very self-serving. It's not that I am really, and it was tough for me to own up to that, to the selfishness of that, but it really was not an exercise in trying to figure out, you know, who someone is, or, you know, decide that I know who someone is, or come, you know, jump to conclusions about who someone is just to be doing it. There really was a motivation behind that, and it's not really necessarily, doesn't make, you know, me feel proud to have to own up to the fact that it was very self-serving. And in other words, it was driven and came from a place, it was motivated by, you know, kind of hoping, I had a feeling about needing a person to be a certain way, because it was based on my expectations and what I needed or wanted to happen. And that was really tough to have to own up to. It really wasn't about them, it was really about me. And I have a very close family member who started graduate school very recently and went into it with the best of intentions and is really trying, you know, very hard to do the work and is doing the work. But that's not really where the struggle is. The struggle has been with her expectations about how she felt like this experience was going to be with all the people she was going to school with. And I think the thing about it is, the first thing I said to her when we were talking about it was that there's nothing to feel bad about there. You know, it's not wrong. It doesn't, you know, it's not wrong. It doesn't make you a bad person to have expectations about things, or to even have expectations for other people. It's very, very human. And that's really the most important point I tried to get across to her, is that, you know, this is something that there's no need to emotionally beat herself up about. What this is really about is about practicing having more awareness around the way that she is looking at the situation, the way that she's talking to herself or self-talk, and really dealing with the thinking that comes along with the feelings that come up when she is finding herself struggling or reacting to things not going the way that she had hoped. And some of the hopes that she had about some of the people that she had met, really hoping and believing that they, you know, she kind of decided in her own mind who these people were or who they are and, you know, how they're going to respond to her. And it's just all very human. And I've talked with her over the last couple of months, and this situation has steadily, it has gotten worse from the standpoint that it has met her expectations less and less. And so she feels like she's really walking backwards. But what I tried to point out to her in a very loving way, in a very respectful way, is that she's really not going backwards in reality. What is really happening is that she has, you know, invested time and energy. And believe me, I have done this so many times in my life. And mindfulness practice has really saved me from myself. because the more aware I can be that my mind is starting down this road, that I'm beginning to develop or create any expectations for how anything is going to go, whether it's a new hobby, whether it's a new activity, a new job, a new client engagement, a new friendship, a new acquaintance, whatever it is, there is this tendency, if I'm not careful and if I'm not paying attention to what my mind is doing, I will go down this road and invest a lot of time and energy creating and cultivating expectations for, if I do this, this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen. And it seems silly when you look at it, from one angle, when you stand back, from one perspective, it seems so unbelievably silly to think this way. But if you look at it from another perspective, and it's just very human. And the thing is, we want things to go well. And I don't think there's anything, in my personal opinion, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think that's anything anyone needs to be ashamed of. We want the best for ourselves. We want the best for those that we love and care about, and for everybody in general. So why wouldn't we expect the best and think the best? And I know that there are a lot of people in the, in the motivational speaking world and, positive thinking. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for those things. And I think that, it is possible for someone to think positively and hope for the best and have faith. I think there is that absolutely can, be compatible with doing those things and combining that with a mindfulness practice. In other words, there's nothing wrong or detrimental or dangerous about hoping for the best. And in fact, I have found that even if I am wanting the best or hoping for the best outcome, if it does not come to pass, I think I'm still better off for having wanted the best and having been open to the best things happening, but knowing at the same time that they might not, and being prepared to cope when they don't go the way that I had hoped. And that's really, the mindful coping aspect of this. The awareness is what really protects us against our own minds, unconsciously developing beliefs about how things should go, becoming attached to those beliefs, daydreaming about certain outcomes. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with daydreaming. It's just that if we approach these things mindfully, we won't get as carried away with it. And it's just kind of like going to the movie. Sometimes it's nice to get lost in another story. Sometimes it's nice to pick up a book and read something that may not even be, based in reality at all, but it's just kind of a side trip. And there's not, and in my mind, for me, there's nothing wrong with that. I just have to be conscious enough and aware enough to know that that's what I'm doing right now, and that I don't carry that over into my day-to-day life, where I begin to start, writing stories like that in my head for how things are going to go in my real life. And I, it's funny, I think back to several movies that I have watched that really spoke to me. There would be something that would happen, a particular storyline or a particular character, that I would walk out of a movie theater and feel like, I want that in my life. I want more of this in my life. I can have more of this in my life. And I mean, really feeling that incredibly strongly. And there was nothing wrong with me doing that, as far as I'm concerned, except for when I started to, when it began to become an expectation. Instead of just being open to, it'd be nice to have more of this in my life. What can I mindfully do? What actions can I take so that maybe I can put myself in a position where this might happen? I know there's no guarantees that it will happen. And see, that's really where I have found that if I get really carried away emotionally, and I think it's very natural as human beings, we get very emotional about things. We feel very strong emotions. And then there begins to be an attachment to those things. And sometimes it's very easy to lose the ability to be, to be conscious because we're so carried away in what we're feeling. And that's really where mindfulness practice comes in, that, you know, the sooner that we can be aware, it's like, oh, okay, there I go again. You know, I'm really swept, you know, right now I'm very swept away emotionally. And just by being aware of it, it doesn't mean that we have to stop doing it. It doesn't mean that we have to do anything at all. It's just a matter of being aware. The awareness itself leads to our ability to, you know, to do what we have trained ourselves to do, and that is to not get carried away with it, to not develop expectations based on that feeling. I want more of this feeling, so how do I get more of this feeling? I want people to be a certain way, how do I get them to be the way that I want them to be? How do I do that? And for me, I found the answer is there's no way to do that. And honestly, the more I try to do that, the more I'm forcing something. And I have found in the past that I have pushed a lot of people away and run people off out of my life because I essentially had an agenda. And even if it's not what I refer to as an evil agenda, I just really wanted, you know, to be around certain people and want, you know, had expectations for how, for who I thought they were and what they could bring to my life. And it's very human and normal to do that. And it's not that I was outwardly necessarily trying to force, you know, anything to happen per se, but I think people pick up on that unconsciously. They may not even realize what it is about someone else that makes them just a little bit uncomfortable. And so, and it's very subtle. I really think in most cases, it's very subtle. And so this is what happens. And I tried to explain all this to my family member that I was speaking with about this, that, you know, this is kind of the anatomy of how this, of, you know, of how this works. This is how this whole thing, this infrastructure of expectations gets built. And really what it boils down to is, if I were to give someone a short answer, it would basically be that we build these models in our head. We meet people, we come across people, we build models in our head for who we think they are. And then as an outgrowth of that, without realizing it, unconsciously, it's very human and normal to begin to, you know, to cultivate and then harbor expectations for who, you know, what we think this person, you know, will do, or what they can bring to us or bring to our lives. And it's not that we're seeking to take anything from them. It's just that we begin to develop these expectations, and it takes on a life of its own. And pretty soon, we're not really here anymore, really dealing with the person who they genuinely are. And so these models that we have, we develop these, and they begin to run automatically almost. It's almost, it really does seem that way to me. And that I can, it can, these things can really unfold without me, you know, having much input once the process gets started. So what I tried to explain to her, and essentially what has happened is that she is very invested right now in feeling very left out. She, you know, claims or is telling me that she has tried to make friends with a lot of the people that are in this graduate class or this graduate school class. And that no matter, you know, despite all of the trying, she doesn't feel like she's getting anywhere. And the danger with this is that to have had expectations in the first place. And that was really the most difficult thing to share with her, is that we set ourselves up for so much disappointment when we assume that anything or anyone is going to, you know, that things will unfold the way we expect that they do, or hope that they do, or that people will respond the way that we hope that they will, or that they'll be who we are expecting them to be, because we've built that model in our heads. And she has done this essentially, and there's nothing, I'm not judging her or condemning her in any way, because I sometimes feel like I invented this. I know I didn't. Humans have been doing this way before I came along. But what has happened is, you know, now she feels very empty. Life feels very, very empty, because what's happened is she's clearly come to realize and become conscious of the fact that the model that she had developed in her head or had built in her head is not really bearing itself out in the real world. Things are not unfolding the way that she had hoped and had expected them to. People who she had expectations about who they were have turned out to be not who they are. And it's happened with a number of people. And now it's kind of like she's woken up from this weird dream, and that's what she was saying to me. It's kind of like, you know, she was so caught up in these expectations. And the other side of this coin is that we have these expectations and these hopes, and when they don't bear out the way we had expected them to or hoped that they would, we begin to react internally in an emotional way. We begin to be frustrated. And she has spent, you know, several weeks being frustrated and even admitting to me that she feels like a victim. And it was very hard for me to tell her, but she wanted to hear it, that she's not a victim. That nobody, there are no perpetrators, there are no victims in this scenario. There's just simply a human being who has, you know, basically built a model in her head for how a certain experience is going to go. And for who she really believed these people were, and had expected that they would respond accordingly based on the way her model was that she had developed in her head. And so now, you know, she's coming to grips with the fact that she does not want to be bitter anymore. She does not want to feel sorry for herself anymore. I find it interesting, as someone who has spent a lot of my life feeling sorry for myself, feeling like a victim, how at some point that really kind of plays itself out. You know, at some point you just don't get the same juice from that you sometimes do. The longer that I would be, you know, trapped in a cycle of feeling sorry for myself, of being a bottomless pit of self-pity, at some point I would hit the wall. I wouldn't get anything out of it. And I really believe that we get something out of that when we first begin to engage in that. And this is, of course, not to say that in some cases there are genuine victims. You know, bad things do happen, as everybody knows. But that's not really what I'm talking about here. This is about the situations that we create for ourselves, the things that we do to ourselves. And unfortunately, much of our lives can be made up of these things, and we can find ourselves mired very deeply in the aftermath, or in some cases, you know, in the midst of what we have done to ourselves, you know, by creating all of these expectations and investing in hopes and dreams that things go a certain way. Not that there's anything wrong with doing any of these things, but it's kind of what we do with it. I think if these things are dangerous in any way, which I don't really think they are, you know, inherently the way that they are, but if they are dangerous, it is only in what we do to ourselves with hopes, expectations, and dreams. It's what we do with it, with them. What do we do with them? And, you know, how we hurt ourselves emotionally. We take these huge roller coaster rides. We, you know, we're really, really up high when we're in the midst of really, really buying into those expectations, and we just know that somehow things are going to go the way that we expect them to, that we hope, that we the way that we always dreamed about the way they would go. And as things, you know, as reality unfolds and as time marches on, you know, it's kind of like in some cases that roller coaster gets up to that, you know, it gets that arc, gets up to its highest point, and then begins that very fast descent downwards. And sometimes you can feel like you can spend weeks and months in that downward descent. It doesn't always happen instantaneously. And I think the longer that goes on, the longer that we keep struggling to try to make those expectations turn into reality, those hopes and dreams turn into reality, that, you know, we just basically are, it's almost like we're just grinding away trying to make those things happen. And so what we ended up, you know, the conversation, the way it ended up going was I shared all these things with her that I've spoken about. And the hardest part of all, I think, is the, what I call, you get to the end of the road of this. You know, you kind of hit the wall and you know it's just not really working out. You know, all these, the model has been, what I call, it's been completely, it's been, I guess you would call it imploded, not exploded. You know, you blow it up, you blow up the model. and it implodes on itself, and it's, you know, and you see it for what it is. And then you're left with all of the wreckage and the rubble, you know, all around you from, you know, what we have done to ourselves in the midst of this, and all of the clinging to the expectations and the hoping against hope and the struggling and the trying and the bargaining, you know, that we go through. And then there's almost like a mourning process. We mourn the loss of something that never really was going to be in the first place. And I walked through that with her yesterday. I mean, we really started talking about once she could really see what she had done, and once she was in a place, you know, where I could basically talk this through with her in a non-judgmental atmosphere where there was no, you know, there was no, you know, no judgment. Because I feel like, again, I have done this, you know, probably way more than she has. I've had a lot more years of experience at doing this. And, you know, once I'm done with it, and I think that's really what's critical, is after the explosion, after the models have been blown up, the models in our heads, after we finally come to realize, oh my gosh, what have I been doing, you know, for however long that's been going on, and we begin to see reality, we begin to wake up and become more conscious of what really has happened. And sometimes it's not pretty to look at. Sometimes, in some cases, we, you know, in this process, we have possibly alienated people. We have possibly even offended people. We have put people at a distance. We've distanced ourselves from people, especially if we're finding ourselves feeling bitter and angry and frustrated that things aren't going the way that we had hoped. We may have said some things, at the very worst, we may have said some things we wish that we wouldn't have. And that's where she's at. She basically is at the end of the road with this process. And now it's kind of what I call the cleanup phase. It's at a point now where she's going to have to figure out how to move on with her life. And hopefully do it in a way where she is just living life as it is, but still being willing to open herself up. And see, that's the catch. I think that's what I found that it's most difficult. When I set myself up with so many expectations for people and really needed them to be a certain way because I needed that, once I realized I was getting nowhere doing that and possibly even doing damage emotionally to myself and possibly to someone else, then there's a fear of, okay, what do I do now? Where do I go from here? You know, can I really put myself out there again and be around people? And that's what she said to me yesterday was, you know, now what do I do? And what I tried to really explain to her and what I found that's worked for myself is the sooner that I get back out there and pick myself up and dust myself off, and all at the same time, I'm being very kind and gentle to myself. This isn't a, you know, pick yourself up, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get on with it. I mean, yes, we do want to get up and start moving forward in our lives, but this is not, to me, this is not what's referred to as a tough love scenario. This is not what this is about. This is about being willing to get back in life and hopefully doing it in a healthier way, without expectations, without hopes, without clinging to these things and needing them to happen, to being willing to be open to things going very well or things not going so well. But I think what the key is, and what I really explained to her, is the more that she can go, and me as well, you know, this applies to me as well, the more that we can go into new situations or just a different chapter of our lives without all the expectations, without the need to. I heard a teacher once refer to this as it's like a construction project in our head. We're building this huge infrastructure of expectations and hopes, and they're based on all the dreams that we have about what we really want to have happen. If we can just live life being open to the fact that it may go even better than we had hoped or expected. But the key here is we never really know for sure how it's going to go. And if we sit around worrying about, well, gosh, what if it goes really badly? What if I get hurt? What if somehow I get hurt again and then I just can't go on anymore? I've done this. I know what it feels like. It's one of my greatest hits. It's, you know, we really are more capable than we realize. We really have the ability to cope. We are much more resilient than we sometimes give ourselves credit for. And what is amazing is that we can waste so much less energy if we just go into situations being more aware. And it doesn't take that much energy. It doesn't drain our energy to be more aware. The more we practice it, it's kind of like any other physical endeavor. The more you practice it, the less effort it feels like it takes. It really doesn't cost as much as we sometimes can think that it does to be more aware and be more conscious. It's just something that we practice. And the more we do it, the more it comes naturally. And it gets to a point eventually where we don't really have to try to do it. We don't even have to really remember to do it. It just happens on its own. And so she now basically is facing the rest of her life and moving forward. And the question is, and I guess this is really the ultimate fork in the road, you know, what is she going to do? And of course, I feel a tremendous amount of compassion for her and wish that I could fix this for her. If I could do anything in the world to make this be the way that she had expected and had hoped that it would be, I would do that. And I know most people would do that for others as well. But unfortunately, it doesn't really work that way. So now it's just a matter of, you know, what can I do for her? The same thing I do for myself, and that is to continually, in a loving and respectful way, to remind her, just like I remind myself, that, you know, the hopes and expectations will just drain my energy and ultimately will actually distance me from people. If I want to be closer to people, if I want to have the life that goes the way that I expect that it goes, the less that I really invest in those expectations and hopes, and the more I'm just open to life being and unfolding the way that it's going to and being the way that it is in each moment, and being grateful for that and being thankful for that and, you know, being accepting of that, I don't have to resist it all so much. And the less of an agenda that I have, I really do find that there are so many incredibly great moments. There are moments of joy. There are things that happen that I never even conceived of, that I never even thought that could happen, but do, because I'm not interfering with the process anymore. And I know it would be easy for her to be afraid of, what if I, you know, and that's what she's asking me, what if I spend the rest of my time in graduate school alone and isolated? It's an understandable fear, but just because we fear that doesn't mean it will come to pass. And that she's so much better off being in life, being engaged in life. And that means being vulnerable and putting herself back out there and making her best efforts with people. And it may not go well. It may go incredibly well or anything in between. But it's just a matter of being aware, of practicing the ability to be aware, of practicing developing the strength to be able to cope, and to really just develop the willingness to just be open to whatever is as life unfolds. Easier said than done, but I know for me, this has been the way that has, this has been the path that has led me to lead the life that I know is best and healthiest for me. It doesn't fix all my problems. It doesn't make everything instantly better, but at least I'm living life in a more genuine and authentic way. And that's really, to me, I don't see how it can get much better than that.